بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم تبارك الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حين دخل عليه جبريل عليه الصلاة والسلام وقال ما الإحسان قال أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. Dear and most respected friends, brothers and elders, I wish to make this announcement, just to echo this announcement a little bit earlier, that if you are part of the nikah parties, kindly come forward. If you don't know who you are, if you might be dolled up a little bit more this Jummah than everybody else, then it's probably you, so you need to come forward. Jazakumullah khairan, so you don't come rushing from the back later on. My respected friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks in the Qur'an al-Kareem of a quality called ihsan, that where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Mulk, Tabaraka alladhi, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be raised, may His status and His barakah be raised. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ, who created life and death. For what purpose? لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may test you. And how will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conclude that test? What will be the results of that test? Will it be facts and figures? Will it be an amount? Will it be something numerical? What will that test be? أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, which one of you is best in regards to their actions? What constitutes being the best? Is there any ceiling? I mean, like if a person knows, if he's a businessman or a professional, he probably walks into the beginning of the month with a ceiling, with a cap, that this is my title or this year is my target for the month. And anything beyond this title will be my bonus. But I'm not resting and I'm not satisfied until I meet the title, or I meet the, in the case of a professional, or I meet the target for that particular month, I achieve this amount. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not speak of a target, of a ceiling. But rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, which one of you is the best? To show mankind that this quality of ahsan or ihsan is a ceiling that differs for everybody. And for a person who is closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it may be elevated and higher. For a person who is crawling and in the infancy stages, it may be a little bit lower. But it is the object of life, or the objective of a Muslim, of a believer, that they carry on passing away, living their life in such a way that they pursue the ceiling that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put above them. Now, my respected friends, towards the end of the worldly existence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this dunya in Madinatul Tayyibah, after the Hajjat al-Wada, the conclusive Hajj and the final Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a very interesting visitor came to visit Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, in particular the narrator Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu anhu, describes that he caught our attention. He didn't seem like a traveler, neither did he seem like a resident of Medina. Everything about him was peculiar. Even the way that he sat in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with such informality that shocked the rest of us. Because when we had to sit in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, normally we would sit at a distance. We would understand the respect. We would understand the position, the aura of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and as a result, we would keep our distance. But it seems that this individual, a stranger, we did not see him before, but so casual and informal with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who is this person? He asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam 5 distinct questions. It is not possible at this juncture to discuss all 5, but the first, second and third one to be very brief. He asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is the definition of Islam? What does it mean to be a Muslim? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam categorically tells him 5 distinctions or 5 actions that should you adhere to them, they represent your foundation, or they represent your pillars of being a Muslim. Everything else will be built upon those pillars. Your first story, second story, third story of your identity. But these will constitute your pillars in reference to your iman, your shahada, your salah, your going for hajj, your zakat, and all these things which we constitute to be the 5 pillars of Islam. Rasulullah ﷺ gives him the rundown. And thereafter he asks for something a little bit more deeper. That okay, that defines a physical Muslim. What defines a mu'min, a believer? And Rasulullah Prophet ﷺ educates him with regards to the intricacies of what it means to have the correct aqaid and belief. That you believe in Allah, you believe in His angels, His books, every single prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, predestination, that whatever happens in your life has already been recorded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether you took a right turn or a left turn. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His ilm, in His knowledge, knows you do not know. Rasulullah ﷺ educates him with regards to the tenets or the principle of what it means to be a mu'min, a believer. And then he asks Rasulullah ﷺ, "Mal ihsan?" What is the quality of ihsan? What does this quality entail? Now look, right in the middle of this discussion, in a hadith which is considered to be a mutawatir, such a grand narrated hadith from Rasulullah ﷺ, that the ulama mentioned that this year is the principles of your iman. That should you now learn this year in detail, you will have no problem till the end of your days on this earth. Right in the middle, he asked Rasulullah ﷺ regarding a quality that is very little discussed. He asked him, what is this quality of ihsan? Rasulullah ﷺ says that the definition of ihsan, ka'annaka, as if you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a way that as if you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you cannot reach that elevated status of you seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of you, of you seeing or beginning to see the unseen, of experiencing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to a level that you had never dreamt of before, if you cannot reach there, you are still in the lower rungs of this quality of ihsan, then at the very least, as your first step, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a way as if you are walking around with the consciousness, you have the cognizance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me and I cannot escape the gaze of Allah. So that when you will start that salah, you will understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me, I will do it only for His sake. That when you embark on that pilgrimage, when you embark on that hajj, that you will undertake that journey, your money and your monetary expense from before, from the time of your point of purchase, where every single thing connected to that journey and your lifestyle after that journey will be governed by you, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me. That when you put your hands in your pocket for that zakat, or you instruct your accountant, or you instruct whoever does your finances, that this percentage is to be given in zakat, then you will do it with the consciousness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me. Leave alone cheating on the figures. You will ensure that it goes to the right recipients and you will be an involved giver. You know where it went, you have accountability, and you ensure that it was effective in management, it was effective in every single regard. Because why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me. The lower qualities of ihsan, which is demanded on average of every single person who claims this kalima. But my respected friends, in the few minutes that we have here this Jummah, let us understand that this quality of ihsan is not merely associated with our outward ibadah alone. It is not just associated with salah, with fasting, with hajj. It is also associated with the relationships that we have with the people around us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Fussilat, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed, He has destined, that you will not worship anyone except Him. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And that you will attach the quality of ihsan in your relationship with your parents. So here, the same quality of ihsan may be translated from a verbal point of view as kindness, as good-naturedness, or whatever it may be. But the same roots, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is implying, like how your ibadah has got a progressive report, that you start at one level and you work your way to a point as if you are seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end and at the higher end of this quality of ihsan. This quality of ihsan in its application to the people around you, in its application to your parents, as the example that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses in the Quran, has also got a never-ending ceiling. For in its definition, the quality of ihsan is not an act of kindness, that you did something good and thereafter you sit on your laurels and you sit on your results and you trumpet to the entire world that I did something good and you rest back. No. The quality of ihsan is progressive. Where does this progress end? When the relationship ends, or when you die in the case of ibadah, then it ends, and then your pursuit of excellence or your pursuit of ihsan will come to an end. But whilst you are in the midst of that ibadah, in the case of an abid, or whilst you are in the midst of that relationship, in the case of ihsan being associated with your near and dear ones, whilst you are in the midst of it, you should understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's instruction is not a once-off instruction. That I did my good turn, I did my good deed unto them, the people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered me to be kind towards, and ihsan is connected with their name. That I have done my once-off good deed. I provided them with shelter, I provided them with food, I provided them with all the requirements of life. But rather the quality of ihsan demands is that you continually progress. You continually do better. You continually analyze, have I done enough? And thereafter, you yourself become your own benchmark. Every person who has made it in any field, one hallmark of their achievement was that they didn't worry about what everybody else was doing. Maybe initially, they made other athletes and people their benchmark. But there came a time wherein they themselves became their own benchmark. That I will beat this because I can. I will do better because I can. If only the abid, the worshipper, applied it to his ibadah. That the salah that I performed, I can do better the next time. If only the person who's making the khidmah of his parents, or the khidmah of his community, or doing any good for that matter, applies that very same benchmark to himself, that you know what, next time I will do better. Next time I will not just be there with my resources, but I will be there physically as well. That I will ensure that it is administered in a better way. If a mu'min, if a believer applies the benchmark to all the good inside his life, then indeed, ahsanu amala, he's approaching a point wherein he will inshallah pass the test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ We created life and death so that we may test you. Which one of you is the best? The progressive best in the good actions that he does. My respected friends, because we have a triple header nikah or nikahs in front of us, let us apply that ihsan to the quality of marriage and the spousal relationship as well. That it's not only applicable when it comes to you and your parents. It's not only applicable when it comes to you and the workforce that serves you. It's not only applicable when it comes to you and your greater community or your extended society. But it also applies in the most intimate of all relationships as well, your spousal relationship. That quality of ihsan has to be evident. That when it comes to a believer, my respected friends, there is a reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His giving of examples in the Quran uses such similes, parables and examples that are things in motion. Look, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالشَّمْسِ, that oath on the sun, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the night and the day, the alternation of the night and the day. Every single simile that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and parable and example cited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the kitab, are things that are in constant motion and never ever come to an end. Even watini wa zaytun, the fig and the olive, they represent such plants that are consistently in motion, that they grow, they have a life cycle, they will wither, they'll die. Even the fruit that comes out of them has an expiry date, it's not going to last forever. They have a cycle. Every single simile of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in motion. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to cite and make this insan observe, like how my examples are in motion, you are also an individual in motion as well. Physically you are. That is very evident. Physically, obviously you are in motion. You were an infant. Before that you were a fetus, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you and gave insan due credit to.
And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala molded you, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. That we made you in the greatest of molds and the best of molds. And then you were a child, and then you were a young adult, and then you continually and continually progress till the time where you may call it retrogression. You now became a withered spoon, or you became a withered branch, and that was the end of your life cycle on earth, where you went away and you were now turned to dust. But your soul, of course, was preserved to be reunited with that body once again on the Yawmul Qiyamah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cites this example to insan, to the man, or to the human being, to inform him that you are not just physically in motion as well, but your spiritual self, your ruh, your inner self, your contact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also needs to be in motion as well. And however, like how the cycle of man could go upwards in the form of strength, it could also spiral downwards in the form of weakness. The same thing will apply to your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks of this quality of ihsan. That we as a believer are not merely to apply only and solely to the ibadah and the worship, like how Rasulullah ﷺ discussed in this hadith addressing Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, his visitor, but rather we are to apply it in every single department of our life. That when I came home and when I interacted with a ni'mah, with a bounty, with a human bounty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed and given me, whether it is my children, whether it is my spouse, whether it is whoever, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legally and in a halal way tended inside my life and placed inside my life, did I apply the quality of ihsan over there? Like how Sayyidina Rasulullah himself, where Aisha radiallahu anha used to say, that for the horizon there was a moon. The horizon's moon used to come out in the hours of the evening. But the moon, or the enlightenment of my home, the moon, the qamar, or the badr of my home, of my life, used to come when Sayyidina Rasulullah, my husband, used to return back home. The quality of ihsan and kindness to such a point that Sayyidina Rasulullah passes away in her lap, ila rafiqil a'la, those famous words, those synonymous words of Rasulullah ﷺ, that to the High Lord is recited where? Is recited while Sayyidina Rasulullah ﷺ has his head reclined on the body, supporting his full weight against Aisha radiallahu anha. And she herself says that Rasulullah ﷺ was there for such a point in time for so long that I had lost track of the time, but I did not move, lest it should cause discomfort to Rasulullah ﷺ, who was at that stage of his life. And Rasulullah ﷺ mentioned, Allahumma inni ala ghamaratil maut wa sakaratil maut, that oh Allah, assist me on the pangs and the pains of death, whilst he was resting and whilst his full weight was against Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha. Ihsan in the relationship, the spousal relationship, the parental relationship, and not to forget, my respected friends, the relationship between the teacher and the pupil, the ustad and the talib, the teacher and the pupil. Ihsan in that relationship. Ihsan inside the relationship we have with our worker. That when he leaves our premises, it should be that he sees the good side of us. He sees the human side. But when that negative human side comes out, that human being who issued that negative side has the decency to apologize. I was wrong. That word escaped my lips. It came out in haste. It came out by mistake. Even though you made a mistake, I had no right to belittle you. I had no right to use such a language that would be offensive. And this, my respected friends, to be brief, is a major problem of our society. That there are two S words that are under discussed in our community. One is the swearing and the other one is the smoking. And it is high time that a person puts both of them inside perspective, that what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demand of us? At the very least, on one end, that if a person makes that mistake, it is ihsan inside that employer-employee relationship that you acknowledge that mistake has been made. That you don't try and cover it up or cower it because you are afraid of the authorities that may be. That I will be reported and this will happen to me and that will happen to me. But rather, you are afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are to be held accountable in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That those authorities can be bought today and sold tomorrow. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-ghani. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Malik al-Quddus, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the King of all kings, that there is no price that can be paid and put by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for after all, He is the controller of wealth. He is the source of all wealth. He is the source of all authority. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this quality of ihsan, my respected friends, bring it inside the spousal relationship. Bring it inside the parental relationship. And as a brief definition, and upon this point I will conclude, what does it define? It defines a continued progress inside any amal, inside any action. It is not a single word translation. It is not a once-off definition that I was kind, but rather it emphasizes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam demands of the believer that when it comes to this quality of ihsan, that you may start off in such a way that I am watching Allah, or rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me, that wherever I am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got full idea of what I am doing, my words, my statements, my actions. But where does it end off? It gets progressively stronger. It gets progressively, charged in the life of a believer to a point that that believer begins to experience things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes him experience. And we saw this. We saw this in the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, on one occasion where he was injured and the shaft of an arrow came inside his foot. He told the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that, you know what, don't take it out under normal circumstances, but when I stand up for my salah, you may take it out. Sayyidina Rafi radiallahu anhu, a similar incident, that he was injured in the battlefield, a shaft of metal was embedded inside him. You may not take it out now, I will feel it, but when I'm inside my salah, and when I experience things that cannot be described and other people cannot describe, then you may extract it, I will know nothing. I will have no knowledge of what you are doing. How many incidents of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this particular regard? This, my respected friends, is progression in a'mal. Like how we demand progression in our business, that from one store it must become two and three. From one footprint, it must be a global footprint. That how we demand progress when it comes to all these tangible things, we need to demand progress when it comes to relationships, and especially the relationship with the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhir da'wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.